President, Ambassador Falls.
How are you, Mr. Patrick?
Said.
Well, we're sorry to see you leave. Let's get your farewell picture here.
We'll rest you one here.
Let's sit down and make a picture. Well, let me say, I told Henry, you know, I naturally would just love to see every ambassador. See you and leave. And there's obviously you've been here in a very important period. You represent your own country with great devotion and dedication. But you've also understood our problems. We've been able to talk to you in total confidence. We can't do that with all ambassadors, not because they're perhaps they just don't, perhaps they haven't grown up in a tradition where confidence has to be respected. But that kind of relationship is enormously important in any major powers. And we only hope that your successor will be one that we can talk to in the same way. Because the relations between the U.S. and the Federal Republic, after all, the Federal Republic is the we need this close communication. Of course, I think it's fascinating for you that you're going to be taking. Apparently, they don't let you see anybody here for a while. But I'll let you be there at a time when things will be changed. Not much who knows. But, I don't think your government can pick up like that.
Yes, it's first time for us that we can get authentic information after 40 years, one can say. This is gone, and Europe now to begin from scratch. And then the other day I said to the Secretary of State, when he asked me in early January about his rumors, me going to Peking, I said, well, I'm going to miss most of my beloved Americans. Couldn't you do something to get them there? Well, in the meantime, it has been achieved. And there's a liaison office with it now, too.
I want to be sure, Henry, that you tell whoever you send that, I want him to be in very close touch with the German ambassador. You know, he's going to need somebody to talk to. And the German and the British, of course. You'll have a little room.
Yes, I would
hope that the German, the British, French, perhaps.
Yes.
Well, no, the German, the British.
French is not the one of our greatest friends.
How would it?
No.
We're not thinking about the French government, but the French ambassador.
Yeah. He also never gets the right information from the Chinese, so he's good.
The British fellows are easy.
British fellows, good. And it's good fellow.
Another thing that you'll find extremely interesting is a listening course. There you're going to have to get most of your listening from your colleagues, but I think you can have a chance to, you know, you put the Japanese there.
Yes.
You've got to be extremely careful about leaks with them, as you know.
Yeah.
But they're very important. Mm. But looking at South Asia, the PAC says they have good people there.
They have a good man there.
Good man.
Mm. They have the brother of the man who helped us, who was here at the time.
Oh, yes. Mm. The Pakistan ambassador is a good man. Mm. And there are others, but, well, I should tell you, you'll know them all. But we of course, will have our modest office there. And we'll keep in the closest touch with you because our interest is the same.
Oh, yes,
the
interest is the same.
And I think our Chinese friends will, shall we say, receive you much more warmly than he would have 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, yes, sure. Thanks to you, Mr. President. I couldn't come from any better post than Washington.
It depends how good you are as a NATO partner.
This is funny, and when I come there, there will be a GDR ambassador from communist part of Germany.
Why?
For 23 years, but the relations between the capitalistic part of Germany would be much
better. You're more important than the GDRs of Moscow's pocket.
Oh, yes. Close share.
And they attacked them.
Yeah.
At some party congress in Berlin,
yes.
They attacked China. They loathe the Germans.
Yeah.
I mean, the East Germans only second.
Tell me, and why should you
know? No, there is...
Maybe you told them about the fact that you were talking to our Chinese friends on one of your visits about apologizing to Laird. Rather,
they told me this was right after the Salt Agreement, and Laird had made some statements that we now have to stretch.
Ferocious statements that he makes.
But retaliatory forces, and Joe and I began to talk to me and said something about Laird. So I thought he was going to criticize him, and I said, well, you have to understand defense ministers always emphasize their own field. That doesn't mean necessarily that that becomes governmental policy. He said, I'm terribly sorry to hear this. We appreciate Laird. We appreciate it very much.
No, that's okay. Mr. Brandt, one field I'm concerned of is the EEC-USA relations. Seeing the European Union.
Oh, yes.
In the trade field and humanitarian affairs, and I've employed myself very much in the last 2 years with these things. They have their own merits, but I see the danger that beyond the trade and monetary field, there can be a danger for the cohesion of the alliance. And this, of course, is very urgent to find solutions, to find common ground between the EC and the United States.
One of the difficulties you're putting being quite direct to it has to be a single standard. It has to be made. It can't be just a one-way street. As you know, I have always stood for the unity of Europe and for Britain and the common market, which of course is the position of your government. Now, on the other hand, we can have a situation where Europe plus Britain decides that it will go its merry way economically or monetarily. Deciding what is best for Europe without consulting with us, but on military matters, for example, where Europe desperately needs the United States, that it's essential that we do nothing unless we consult with them. In other words, we can talk all we want about non-linkage, but there is one condition. There is a linkage. That being,
yes.
Understand, your government has been very good about this, but sometimes there's a tendency in Europe today we have to realize, which could be terribly dangerous for the United States. There's a tendency in Europe first to say, well, what's the United States doing about tariffs, and why don't we cut our rate of inflation when theirs is higher than ours, and so forth and so on. But beyond that, there's a tendency for the Europeans to say, well, now we'll build a great economic unit, independent, et cetera, all this should go forward without regard to what happens in the field of military cooperation and so forth. It really can't happen that way.
That's not the policy of my government, you know, Mr. President.
I don't think so.
We think, and we are working for as close cooperation in the economic field with you as we have got in the foreign policy and defense policy field. This is what is needed most. And so that we can talk the policy issues about everything. And maybe you remember when the Chancellor was here as Chancellor the first time in April 70, how much he stressed this point. We have our difficulties inside of the community to get a mandate for this dialogue with the American government on a very high level. We hope that we can achieve something more after the French elections.
Yes,
because the inside is showing that this has to be done. And second, Mr. President, we have an identity of interest in the stability and the strength of the dollar. 90% of world trade is done in dollars, will be done in dollars. And we can find a reform of the international system as soon as the dollar is again strong and stable. If we can't achieve this, no reform of the system, no other system helps. You can't do world trade with special drawing rights. You have one leading term. You have to have it. There is no possible replacement for the dollar. And of course we did what we could do in the last few weeks to help our American friends in this dollar situation. But we knew exactly we are helping ourselves too. There is an identity of interest rather as strong as it is the basic principle of our NATO alliance, where also the identity of the interest in the freedom of Europe has NATO enabled to survive one crisis after the other. And it has existed, it still exists, and it will exist. And we see these two things in a very close combination, in one view, these basic economic and the basic defense and security issues.
I know Secretary Shultz is going over.
Yes, I just saw him.
In fact, he just met. And we are going to give a great deal of attention to this.
Yeah.
We have to realize that there are forces in Europe that frankly are not quite as outgoing as yours.
Yes.
And under these circumstances, our reactions will have to be accordion.
Yeah.
But what I am trying to do, let me say, is this: that there is here, Mr. Ambassador, in this country, a dangerous drift or in some circles toward isolation.
Yes.
The very carpet gets from
us. Yes.
Withdraw the division unilaterally from NATO and so on. We'll be through that. But
yes.
Again, I'm trying to fight it all the time. I will fight it. But if our European friends take three shots at us from time to time or are not cooperative, and the same is true of our Japanese, if they do, the difficulty is that it will just pour gasoline on these flames that are already smoldering there.
Right.
Now understand, by three shots I mean that I realize that each of the European leaders has his own domestic political situation. I realize that each of them would probably gain domestically by being antagonistic to the U.S. because of its size, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm simply saying it's a very dangerous game because if the idea becomes at all planted here that Europe in some way doesn't want the U.S. playing a role in Europe, they'll say, thank you very much, we want to get out.
Sure.
We mustn't have this happen.
Sure.
Because we both need each other.
Certainly. And this would do great harm to both of us.
Sure.
Great harm to both of us.
So we will work on this, and I agree with
yes.
you, the economic, this year, the economic, the military has got together. And we got, with MBFR coming up, the European Security Conference, for us to be engaged in economic confrontation at a time that we're trying to get agreement on MBFR and European Security Conference would be a disaster. That's why I say they're linked. We cannot have a situation where it's, all right, we go our own way here, but over here we work together. Right, Henry? Isn't that really the problem?
And the Russians would enjoy it most.
Oh, you bet.
We buy us.
And on the other hand, there's no purely economic solution unless we keep the political framework
sure.
in
yes.
mind.
That's right. We've sure. got to work.
Sure.
We feel that way.
Exactly.
We want to be helpful. We want to be good partners, but we would appreciate if you'd help us sometimes on you, I'm speaking personally,
yeah.
your government, the European government, so that I don't have such a terrible time with the Mansfield and others who want us to get out of the world, let alone Europe. Well, we'll send you the picture.
Thank you very much.
I wish you the very best for all years ahead.
Thank you very much. And I wish
you all to have you here.
And we know what your presidency means for my country and for Europe. We feel some concern, and you mentioned, for instance, the tendency to isolation
yeah, yeah.
for the years after your presidency. Because you are a very strong power to fight it and to succeed. I don't know, knowing this country and loving this country, what will be the situation after you. That's why we appreciate
well,
Is it your election, so very much?
Well, I'm being president.
Well, you're very kind.
And then you did the thing.
We've had good support from Emmerich's mother.
And we've appreciated our relations. You know my feeling about Europe and my feelings about the Federal Republic. Nobody can shoot that damn wall without saying, why did we let it happen? Never, by the year, it will never happen.
Never.
Must well do them.
Aren't you agree? Yeah, sure. Couldn't agree more. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Well, do you have a good
minute? Yes, sir.